This segment is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Visit them on the web at sectorspiders.com or call 866-SECTOR-ETF.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Coming up on today's show, shocking proof that good investments sometimes start out bad. Also, we're going to talk about alternative income strategies on the program. I am going to share tidbits with you from the just published June issue of the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. It's out. We publish this every month, and I will share some tidbits with you on the show. If you want to get the full newsletter, it is available. It has been released to the wild at etfguide.com. We will also get into your phone calls as well as your tweets. We're here live, 844-305-7800. That's the number. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. Give us your first name along with your city, and I will get to you. Also, if there's a specific stock or ETF or mutual fund ticker symbol that you want me to cover, give us that ticker symbol and I will get into it. Now, before we get into talking about this wonderful topic of how shocking proof that good investments sometimes start out bad, and I'm going to give you a case study, a real life example of why that is true, I want to give you a quick recap on where some of the financial markets, how they are performing so far in 2015. Here we are, pretty much 6 months into the year, and look, see, and compare the performance of your portfolio versus these major benchmarks. Now, here's the thing. If you're underperforming by a significant margin, that's a problem, because the performance of your portfolio should always be keeping up, or at the very bare minimum, matching what major indexes are doing. Now, if you're an indexer and most of your portfolio is indexed, at least the foundation of the portfolio is indexed as it should be, then of course you're never going to have this problem of having to ever worry about significant underperformance versus the market, because it's not going to happen. Now, if you're picking stocks, if you're betting on fund managers, if you're engaging in other types of trading strategies, and that is where the foundation of your portfolio is, that's a problem, because those are all non-core investment strategies. Now, we always build the core of the portfolio first, and then you layer those non-core types of things on top of that foundation. But you have to have the foundation first. You can't engage in these non-core investments, you can't be investing there without first having the foundation. And that's a problem for many, many investors. You know, after grading more than $100 million in investment portfolios, this is a common theme that I'm seeing, is portfolios that just don't have that foundation built on low-cost, broadly diversified market funds that touch the major asset classes. There's five: stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate, and of course, cash. So those are the five major asset classes. That's the foundation of your portfolio. You begin there. Then you can invest in some of these other areas. Now, let's take a look at the global equity market and just give you some perspective what's going on globally. And we track at ETF Guide, we track the basically 13 regions throughout the globe, from North America to South America to Africa to Asia. And basically, out of these 13 global equity or stock regions, only three have negative year-to-date performance. And those three are Canada, which is down about 1.5%, Latin America down 2.5%, and Brazil down around 6.5%. So those are the only three regions that are in negative performance year to date. The rest of the globe in terms of stock prices is up. And the leaders are concentrated in Asia. Chinese stocks, ticker symbol GXC, ahead by almost 24% since the beginning of the year, and a sizzling. Same thing for Japanese stocks, EWJ, ahead by just over 18%. And Indian stocks, INDY, are also up about 2%. And then one other area that's been a stellar performer, actually the best performing country ETF this year, has been Russia, RSX, ahead by almost 38% since the beginning of the year. And it's funny how quickly Russia has rebounded. Last year was a horrific year for Russian stocks. And this year it's been quite the opposite. So seen some pretty amazing extremes there in the performance of the Russian equity market. As far as the U.S. is concerned, a total U.S. stock market, ticker symbol VTI, ahead by 4.5% and doing pretty well. But nevertheless, if we compare the performance of the U.S. stock market versus the rest of the world, it is lagging. We've seen much, much, much better performance in international stocks as a group, as well as emerging market stocks. And even Europe, with all of their problems, and Greece, and all of this negotiating about whether they will stay in the Euro Union or if they be forced to leave, all of that has not deterred the performance of European stocks. The ETF that tracks that area, VGK, is the ticker symbol, ahead by almost 11% and performing very strongly. So that's kind of a wrap on what's happening globally with the stocks. I'll get you caught up on what's happening sector-wise, as well as some of those other key asset classes. If you'd like to join us, we're here, 844-305-7800. Give us your first name along with your city. If you want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, or investment strategy, give us a ring, 844-305-7800. You can also tweet the program at Index Show. Follow us. We're also active on Facebook. You can like us. If you have not had a chance to get your portfolio analyzed and graded, what are you waiting for? I know you've wondered what type of fees you're paying. I know you've wondered, well, what's my performance? What's my tax situation? Am I taking too much risk? Am I properly diversified? Does this portfolio that I have, is it going to help me to reach my goals? Well, there's one very easy way to find out all of the answers to all of those questions, and that's by going to PortfolioReportCard.com and getting in touch with me, taking that initial step, and I will analyze and grade your portfolio like never before. You will see. I will dissect your portfolio. I will strip it down to its nakedness, put it on the operating table, and I will tell you exactly what's going on with your money. And I've graded, like I said, so many different types of portfolios, IRAs, 401k plans. I've graded family trust accounts, you name it. I've seen almost everything, and some of the portfolios are shocking, shockingly good. Not too many, but I've seen more shockingly bad. But on today's show, what I want to share with you is actually something that's shockingly good. And I want to also explain to you that good investments sometimes start out bad. There's this assumption that good investments always start out good. Well, that's not necessarily the case. And I'm going to give you an example on today's show that will show you that good investments sometimes start out bad. And this is going to be a very important lesson, I think, for all of us. I'm Ron DeLegge. You're listening to the Index Investing Show, 844-305-7800. That's the number. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. I'm here, you're there, and I'll be right back.
Invest. Investing Show with Ron DeLegio.
All right, welcome back from the break. 844-305-7800. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. We're here every single week at this same hour. We operate live on radio at Index Shows, my Twitter handle. If for whatever reason you miss our regular radio broadcast that's live, you can catch our podcast. It's available at iTunes. You can also find us on SoundCloud Radio. Just search for us under the Index Investing Show, and you shall see us there. And while you're visiting there, be sure to give us a review, post a comment, let us know what you think about the show, help others to find us. The Supreme Court ruled unanimously that companies that offer employees 401k retirement savings plans have a continuing duty to monitor the investment options as well as the fees. Yes, the prudent man rule applies if you are an employer and you have a 401k plan that you're giving to your employees. Yes. Was there any doubt about this? That employers have a responsibility to their employees when it comes to the investment options that they shove in front of their noses? I mean, was there any doubt about this? You can't just say, well, I offer a 401k plan and I'm done. No, you've got to make sure that that 401k plan is being prudently managed, that the fee structure as well as the investments are going to actually help your employees to get ahead and to save for retirement. Now, the easiest way if you're an employer to meet the prudent man rule, in my opinion, very simple. Offer a plan that has index funds as the foundation of the 401k plan. Very simple. I mean, if you do that, then you'll be in good shape. Then, but of course, there's another aspect to this. It's not just offering index funds or index ETFs as part of the solution. It's also making sure that the fees on those index funds or index ETFs are reasonable. In other words, there are some index funds and index ETFs that have elevated expenses. Just because it's got that labeling, index fund or index ETF, doesn't necessarily mean it has a reasonable cost associated with it. So nice to see that the Supreme Court has ruled. Certainly this will hopefully protect retirement income savers. Again, 844-305-7800 is the number. Give us your first name along with your city if you want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, or investment strategy. The June ETF Profit Strategy newsletter is out. And one of the things I do every single month, we've got our income mix portfolio, which is a hypothetical all ETF portfolio that began on February of 2012. It began with $100,000. The strategy of the income mix portfolio is to sell monthly covered calls. In other words, we're trying to generate high income over and above and beyond what we're getting from dividends on the underlying funds. Now, the income mix deliberately invests in ETFs covering different asset classes. Now, the purpose here, again, is to generate high income. Let me give you a recap on our June income trade. We sold covered calls, and we generated for the month of June $750 based on a $100,000 all ETF portfolio. Since February of 2012, when the income mix portfolio began, we have generated over $32,000 or $843 per month on average over the past 38 months. So what am I saying? Well, the income fluctuates month to month, but the same strategy applies, high income, and we've done a pretty good job of collecting income through this last 38 months of market uncertainty, ups and downs. And by the way, the same strategy that this ETF income mix portfolio does or uses is the same as the SIBO S&P Buy Right Index, which is a benchmark linked to the performance of a hypothetical buy right strategy on the S&P 500. So this index was released, when was it? I think it was in the early 2000s. It's basically based on buying an S&P 500 index portfolio and then writing or selling the near-term at-the-money S&P 500 covered call option, which generally expires on the third Friday of each month. The premium collected from the sale of those covered calls is added to the portfolio's total value. The calls held until expiration, at which time a new one month at the money call is then once again subsequently sold. So that's how it works. Pretty simple strategy, not very complicated. I mean, for all the option strategies out there, calls and puts, this is one of the most simplest and easiest to execute. Now, is it perfect? No, absolutely not. There's no perfect anything. There's no perfect income strategy, no matter what anybody says. There's no perfect anything. Okay, there's no silver bullets. Hate to break it to you. I know that Wall Street pushes this rubbish that they've got the perfect solution, the perfect this, the perfect that, the perfect stock, the perfect ETF, the perfect fund. There's no such thing as the perfect anything. You know, it all works in conjunction with each other to produce, hopefully, a good result. So don't rely on silver bullets or the perfect this or the perfect that. This is an income strategy that complements your other income strategies, like investing in dividend-paying stocks or dividend-paying sectors. So no income strategy, including selling covered calls, is perfect. Nevertheless, selling covered calls is a proven long-term income strategy. And that is a fact. And it's a very disciplined way. It's a very simple approach to generating additional income over and above what you're getting from your dividends. And if we take a look, too, there was an 18-year study done by a company called Callahan Associates. They looked at this from 1988 to 2006, and they showed that a buy-right strategy for that 18-year period, from 1988 to 2006, delivered a compounded annual return of 11.7% compared to just an 11.5% return for the S&P 500. So a little bit better performance than the S&P 500. And plus, here's the other thing, that the returns also had lower volatility compared to the S&P 500. And plus, you had more income than the S&P 500. So there is a lot to be said for this strategy. If you want to follow along with the monthly trades that we do, we call them income trades, just go to etfguy.com, sign up for the Profit Strategy newsletter. And again, the June income trade that we just did generated $750 of monthly income for the month of June. We do the trades always 1 month in advance. So even though it's still May, we do that June income trade going out 1 month. When the month of June arrives, guess what we'll be doing? We'll be doing the July income trades. So again, I think this is a very good strategy that you can put in your arsenal, especially those of you looking for more retirement income. Again, go to etfguide.com and click on the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. Do good investments always start out good? I've thought about that a lot, and I'm going to share with you why that is not true. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge. Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
There was a recent survey, a financial planning survey. Actually, the title of that survey is Fear of Financial Planning. That's the title of this study. It was conducted by Nationwide Financial and Harris Interactive of individuals over 18 with at least $100,000 in investable assets. And the results of this are pretty amazing. People actually, according to this particular study, are more fearful of investing in the stock market than they are of dying. Can you believe this? The poll found that 62% of people, of these poll respondents, are afraid of investing in the stock market, while 58% fear death, 57% fear public speaking, and 37% fear losing their jobs. Now, the fear of uncertainty or of not knowing, I think, is a big contributor to people's anxiety when it comes to investing. And that's, by the way, one of the reasons that I developed and invented the Portfolio Report Card, to help people to overcome their investing fears with a simple but robust examination of their money, so that you can understand the financial condition of your investments. That's what it's all about. It's a diagnosis on your investment portfolio, how it's doing in five key areas: cost, diversification, risk, taxes, and performance. Now, this I think, is a major breakthrough for all investors, individual investors, and it only happened, really, after years of toiling, after years of research, after years of sleepless nights and trying to figure out what it is that could really help synthesize in a very simple way a person's investment portfolio. And it's a culmination of my firsthand experience also at observing investor behavior and being able to quickly diagnose a portfolio's strengths as well as flaws. Rather than focusing on just the individual parts of the portfolio, I discovered that analyzing the entire thing was the only way to arrive at a rational and correct and complete conclusion. So that's what the Portfolio Report Card is all about. And I invite you to go to PortfolioReportCard.com to find out how your investment portfolio is doing. Does it get an A, B, C, D, or F? Does it pass or does it fail? Go to PortfolioReportCard.com and find out. And by the way, if you get an A, I pay you $100. Now, let's take a look at what's happening sector-wise within the S&P 500. Now, as I mentioned earlier, total U.S. stock market is ahead by 4.5% since the beginning of the year. Pretty good return. Now, if we take a look at certain sectors within the S&P 500, certain ones are doing better than others. For example, healthcare. XLV is the ticker symbol that tracks S&P healthcare stocks like Pfizer and Merck and Amgen. XLV ahead by almost 10% since the beginning of the year. It's incredible what's going on in the healthcare sector. There's a lot of not just demographics that are driving this sector, but also a lot of mergers and acquisition activity as of late. That's certainly, I think, helped lift the price of some of these stocks. Another sector that's doing very well is technology. XLK, which is ahead by just over, well, actually almost 6%. So XLK technology doing pretty good. And of course, XLK contains S&P technology stocks like Google and Apple and Microsoft and many others. That's XLK doing pretty good. And then one other sector that's doing good. So one sector that is not often discussed is basic materials. Ticker symbol XLB ahead by 5.5%. XLB is what you might say a commodities-based sector. Some of those stocks in it involved in mining as well as forestry and the like. So XLB also doing pretty good. And that's the wrap there sector-wise. And now in terms of the market's mood or sentiment, and I like to do this. I think it's a healthy exercise that all of us should do, but I do it just because it's my job to keep track of the market's mood, volatility watch, and whether the market is overly bullish, overly bearish, overly pessimistic, overly optimistic. As a sign of what we see right now, we might say is elevated complacency by investors and traders. U.S. stock market volatility, also known as the VIX, has fallen off a cliff. It's down 36% year to date. And just to give you some perspective, S&P 500 has not had a single up or down move of 2% this year. It hasn't happened. Isn't that incredible? Now, compared with by this time in 2014, there were three such moves. And there were in 2013, there were two such moves of single days of at least up or down 2%. We just haven't seen that in 2015. It's been smooth sailing. So pretty amazing stuff happening in terms of complacency. And I think it is certainly a warning sign that that when you see an over-optimistic view of the market, when everyone's pretty much saying the same thing, that has to make you stall a little bit and say to yourself, wait a second, you know, is this really going to be the situation? Is this really going to be the trajectory of the market from this point forward? If everyone thinks it's going to do great, you know, usually it's the exact opposite that turns out to be the case. So these are some things that you should be aware of. I always tell people to have a margin of safety built inside their portfolio. What is a margin of safety? Well, it's the money that you should carve out of your portfolio that should be reserved to help you have some cushion, to keep you liquid, and it's also money that you cannot afford to lose. So you carve that outside of your portfolio and you build in a margin of safety. You do it before the storm, not after the storm, not during the storm. You do it before the storm. And this is something that all of us should be doing inside of our investment portfolios, having a margin of safety. That's what it's all about. And then you put that in conjunction with having a portfolio that's diversified, that's built on a solid foundation of exposure to the five major asset classes. You minimize cost, you minimize taxes, and you get the asset mix that perfectly aligns and is compatible with your situation, not just your age, but your situation. And then what you've got is a very dangerous and a formidable formula for investment success. That's what it's all about. 844-305-7800. That's the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. Well, coming up in the next segment, I've saved this for the very last segment, because he who is last shall be first. And this is incredible stuff that I'm about to share with you, shocking proof that good investments sometimes start out bad. And this actually came to me from a portfolio report card that I did on a $26.9 million portfolio. And I discovered an answer to an incommodious question that has been bothering me for a long time. So you're about to hear shocking proof that good investments sometimes start out bad. Stay tuned for that. 844-305-7800 at Index Show with my Twitter handle. I'll be right back. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegio.
All right. Welcome back from the break. This is the Index Investing Show. I am your host, Ron DeLegge, and we're here every same time at every week at this same hour. We're talking about the birds and the bees of successful investing. And if you want to join us, 844-305-7800, that's a number. Give us your first name along with your city, along with any stock, mutual fund, or ETF ticker symbols. You can also tweet me at Index Show, and we're very active. If you want to get a portfolio report card where I analyze and grade your investment portfolio and tell you whether it passes or fails, go to portfolioreportcard.com and get in touch with me. Taking a look at some of the top performing ETFs of 2015, and these are exclusively leveraged funds. That means they try to magnify. They're designed to magnify the daily performance of their underlying index. There's a couple that I want to bring to your attention. The Direction Daily Russia Bull 3X ETF. This one aims for triple daily performance to Russian stocks. Ticker symbol RUSL. Ahead since the beginning of the year by a sizzling 105%. RUSL, a top performer. Over the past 3 months, it's gained 25%. Over the past month alone, it's gained 9.5%. RUSL, a top performer. Here's another one, the Direction Daily FTSE China Bull 3X ETF, ticker symbol YINN, ahead by 72% since the beginning of the year. And over the past 3 months, it's gained 56%. Chinese stocks, very, very hot, as well as Japanese stocks, which again are along that same theme of Asian stocks outperforming the global markets right now. JPNL tracks Japanese stocks with triple daily leverage, and that one has gained almost 60% since the beginning of the year. And so those are some of the top performing areas. Another one that we kind of touched on in the previous segment, this fall off, this almost 40% fall off in stock market volatility, or VIX, has created an opportunity for those that have been shorting the VIX. Yes, you're betting that the VIX will continue to fall. And if it does, then when you short it, that means you're trying to make money from that fall. And so the ProShares Short VIX ETF, SVXY, has gained 47%. And that's another strategic type of ETF from a trading perspective that's done pretty well. So that's kind of what's happening in terms of some of those trading ETFs that target specific countries as well as strategies. Now I want to talk about shocking proof that good investments sometimes, not always, but sometimes, start out bad. Now, after analyzing and grading more than $100 million in investments using my portfolio report card system, I've seen my fair share of good, bad, and ugly portfolios. But one question has continued to haunt me. Do good investments always start out good? Well, I discovered the answer to this inconvenient question in a report card that I recently did on a $26.9 million portfolio. And I have a table of that portfolio, at least part of it, in the June ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. Now, I know those of you listening to the show right now are not able to see this, but if you go to etfguide.com and you sign up for the Profit Strategy newsletter, you will see a table of this $26.9 million portfolio. And on that table, there's two particular holdings. One of them is Apple. The other one is Amgen. And this particular owner converted an $81,000 investment in Apple into $8.3 million. And also, he managed to convert a $14,000 investment in Amgen into $3.2 million. Now, he's an outlier. Let me be clear about that. He's also not an insider at either company. He has no firsthand experience either in the technology or biotech field. But I want you to focus on this investment in Apple. His initial purchase in Apple stock happened in 1991 at a split-adjusted price of $1.57 per share. That was his first purchase of Apple. Now, he also bought more shares in the company in 1998. And then he bought one final round of Apple in 2001, right when the entire world was distracted by the aftermath of 9/11. That's all anybody was thinking about. They were drinking, they were eating, they were thinking 9/11. And while they were doing that, he made one final purchase of Apple. That was in 2001 in September. Now, lest I remind you, and this is the theme of what I'm trying to share with you, and I hope you are not distracted by all this other stuff. The first 10 years of his investment in Apple was a complete bust, because on paper, he was actually down 26% from his initial purchase. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? In 1991, he bought Apple at $1.57 a share. 10 years later, it was worth $1.16. So what is the lesson? What am I trying to communicate to you? This is a real life example that teaches us that good investments do sometimes start out bad. But since most investors, including probably you, lack the stamina, lack the conviction, lack the audacity to allow their investments to blossom, they sadly never experience the sweet taste of victory, the sweet taste of success, like this particular investor. Are you grasping what I'm telling you? The other lesson is this, people, that buying out-of-favor assets and patiently waiting for them to increase in value is a proven recipe for wealth building. Now, when this particular investor began purchasing Apple in 1991, and let's go back in the time machines, Apple at that time was the ugly duckling of the technology space. It was Microsoft. It was Dell Computer. It was Cisco Systems. It was Intel. It was Compaq. It was Gateway 2000. Those were the stocks to own. By the way, this same ultra-contrarian approach, and that's what this is. You buy Apple in 1991, that's an ultra-contrarian trade. I mean, at one point, it looked like this company could go out of business. In fact, in the mid-90s, Steve Jobs wasn't even working at the company. He left. It's just incredible. But this investor held on. He held on. The first 10 years of this investment, he lost 26% in value. And it wasn't until the final 14 years of this investment in Apple that he's had all these gains. So this same ultra-contrarian approach, what I'm trying to say, You can use this, of course, in picking stocks, but it also can be applied to ETF investing. You know, investing in out-of-favor sectors, investing in out-of-favor asset classes. So this is a pretty incredible real-life story that has so many lessons interwoven into it. And again, shocking proof that good investments sometimes start out bad. I mean, we could probably change that around too. We could probably say that there are bad investments that sometimes turn out good, right? I mean, that probably was the case here. After losing money for 10 years, this one turned out good. Well, that does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Be sure to pick up our podcast at iTunes as well as SoundCloud Radio. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com to get your portfolio analyzed and graded. And I'll be back on next week's program. Be here or be nowhere.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.